So, once upon a time, a long, long time ago, you existed only as a condition, a state we refer to today as a condition of godness. For you were all-knowing and fully aware. You were everywhere present, and you were timeless. You were unlimited in creative power and insight. Oh, you had unlimited authority and influence. And, well, you were all-powerful in your own realm, but one important thing you did not have was an identity. You were not, individually, anything. In fact, you were unknown and unknowable. Oh, you had nothing to be or to express. Nothing you could declare to be. You couldn't be experienced or realized. Actually, you had everything. You were everything. Yet you had no way of realizing yourself. No way of clearly expressing yourself from this state of allness. You existed, but you were not alive as anything. Much as a star coalesces from clouds of sort of gas-like energy, and planets, they coalesce from clouds of matter, you coalesce as a concept from clouds of, well, data and information. And you remain as a concept even today. As energy existed but came alive as stars, well, and matter existed but came alive as planets, you existed but came alive as a concept. But the question is, what is a concept? And what concept are you? A concept of you is, well, it's something conceived in mind. It's a general or abstract idea or an image. It's a thought that includes all that is characteristically associated as you. In this, you were something, yet you were nothing. You were a concept of self without any realization of self. Oh, a star has its realized essence and shines brightly. And planets have their essence and serve as a foundation or a place in space and time. But who or what concept were you? Who or what were you to be? What would realize and individualize you? Consider this. Consider awakening from a dream to yourself as coming alive. What is the story of that awakening? Who or what is that self you are coming awake to? Obviously, you can't remain in a dream and discover yourself outside of that dream. But you can awaken yourself from the dream that you are in, and come alive to who you are outside of the dream. As a concept of self, you were clothed in matter to express and experience yourself, well, in all of life. To come alive as a self-chosen, self-desired concept. But who or what is that concept? What thought or idea do you have of yourself being? Who or what are you willing to be alive as? That's the idea of self-determination. Is the concept of self-determination too much for you? Maybe it's repugnant to you. Maybe it's too grandiose for you. Is all of this too much for you to believe? Or to even think of? Who or what are you struggling against being? Would you rather remain in the dream of, well, of let's pretend, than acknowledge and declare yourself? Are you fearful of telling the world who you choose to be? Are you too lost and consumed by who you might become to know who you are? Is there no concept of yourself that will awaken you, that will bring you alive, and clearly and fully express you? Something for you to experience. Why have you just sort of settled for who you are living today as? Is there nothing that is just you and genuinely right for you? This is the concept of your beginning story, a tale of self-awareness and self-realization that continues even to this day in every moment. I wrote about you in this little short way because people seem to have a struggle getting started. So, if in this then you were like coming alive out of a dream or awakening yourself from a dream state in which you were all of these things and coming alive again, your beginning story is about who it is that you are coming alive as. Well, that's the story that we discussed last week, or the stories we discussed, and the more stories that we want to talk about tonight. Got any questions? Guess not. So we'll start with Aria. Long ago and oh so very far away, I was born to a woman on the planet Raetan. On this planet, you begin to see now as if she were coming alive or awake in this, she was becoming aware of who she was. It's like if you were to come out of a dream and know yourself as Andrew or Karen or Isaac, you would remember the story of your life and who you were. Well, this is what Aria is doing. On this planet lives a little known goddess, Experiata. Experiata's special gift was to switch children at birth. Well, that they might experience more than they ever have known before. So Experiata took me and brought me to Earth. She found a newborn baby in a bassinet in a small country town. There she switched us, taking the Earth child to Raetan to experience life there. Everybody got that in your mind?
One. Steal the baby?
I can't hear you.
Did she steal the baby?
Well, she switched the baby with another baby, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, don't feel bad. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want you to feel bad because I want you to... Here's a question. I think you all out there are thieves. You're crooks. You steal, and you glory in your stealing, and nature allows that to be so. It's natural for you to steal in this world around you. Now the question is, if you don't like my accusation, could you possibly consider then from that, what concept have I brought up and discussed many times that allows me to say you're all crooks, you're all thieves, you're all stealers? Got any idea?
What's the question again? What's the what?
If you said something, Andrew, I didn't hear it.
Oh, I just wanted you to repeat. You asked, what's this thing that you've said or done before? You repeat what that was?
What concept might it be that we have discussed before about you that allows me to accuse you of being a crook, a thief, a whole lot of other words, but we'll just leave it that.
Random eventing.
I'm sorry, I can't hear. You, nobody wants to repeat it?
I think somebody said random eventing.
Yeah, but who said that? If you guys ain't going to talk to me, I'm going to hang up.
I don't know who said that, Roger. This is Sally.
I can tell it's Sally. I don't know who said that either, but if you're not going to talk to me, I'm still going to hang up.
Okay, it's me, Angela.
Okay, Angela. Then if you're going to insert and I can't hear it, then you got to stick with it.
Okay.
Now, Angela, as long as I've got you, what is your favorite concept that we've sort of talked about recently that might allow me to say, you're a crook, you're a thief?
Entanglement?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's good. None of us here figured that out.
Isn't that what entanglements are all about?
I thought entanglement gave me a little right to ownership. I didn't know I was stealing.
If through entanglements, then, in that way, I know something about someone, let's say, Andrew, that you have been party to, and etc., by my being entangled with you, have I not stolen information or gained information in that? Isn't that what entanglements is all about?
Well, okay, so then by that rationale, if I give a reading or you give a reading, are we stealing information?
That's right, but that's what it's all about. Thievery! The whole universe is based on thievery.
What?
The whole universe, the concept of yourself, is based on thievery.
Thievery.
Well, it's based on thievery, but in a sense, in entanglements, if you really understand entanglements, you leave in return for what you take.
Right. So I didn't necessarily think it was... That's why I didn't think it was stealing, but okay.
Well...
Sorry.
Isn't it?
I'm not arguing, I just said like, that's what I was thinking, but...
Isn't it?
Right, you leave. Yeah, right.
So, then, let's see. You're entangled with Sally... And therefore, when I'm entangled with you, I can get some information about Sally, can I not?
Yeah.
Yeah, help yourself.
Well,
technically, great stuff, you know.
Technically, that calls thievery.
Okay.
So, in a sense now, what we're saying here is, Experiata took me and brought me to earth. She found a newborn baby in a bassinet in a small country town. There she switched us, taking the earth child to Raton. And so Simone asked, did she steal it? Isn't it possible that the thievery of entanglements is far greater than anything you could steal on your own?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sure, yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Bunch of crooks. Well, one day when I was about 4, I was walking down a road enjoying everything about the beautiful day and everything I was stealing. Oh, how I loved my life. I would smile everywhere I went and gently hum my song. As I was walking, I saw a woman. A woman I had never met before. I stopped and studied her. listening carefully. I gently nodded my head. Yes, there it is. Soon I was humming a beautiful song. The woman was quite taken by the melody that I was humming and said to me, "That song sounds familiar. What song is this?" I replied, "Why, it's your song. Do you see how entanglement is beginning to work here?" "My song," said the woman. "How can this be?" So I explained, "Well, you know, everyone has a song they have sung throughout all time, in every life and experience, in everything they have done. Well, it might be a slight variation of the song, and it may be played bold or almost as soft as a whisper. It may sound like one instrument or a whole symphony. Oh, it may be played fast or slow, at any tempo they desire. It may be pitched very high or very low. There are no boundaries as to how it can be played, but it is their song just the same. If I listen carefully, well, I can hear each person's song." I smiled a warm, embracing smile. "Everyone has the ability to listen to their song playing throughout the universe and express that song in any variation, in any way they want. The thing is, so many have stopped listening and therefore they barely hear their own song." Well, it soon got around that I had this special talent, and people would come from far and wide to hear me, well, just sort of hum their song. As I grew, I started to add words to the melodies. I explained that each verse is like, well, it's like an incarnation, so that there were many, many verses for each individual. But put all together, well, it is their eternal symphony. Now, in just the same way as Aria is hearing or listening to people's song or sound or the song that they are singing, what I have been asking in all of this is, what is your story? What are the words, whether you set it to music or not? What are the words? What is the concept you are living? And then when you take that concept, which is this concept of Aria listening to other people and listening to their song, then the story is about how she's doing that. You see, you started as a concept. What is the concept that you are, that you're living, that you want to live, that you're willing to live? What is that all about? And then what is the story that as the story unravels, that it reveals the concept that is within the story, that's within the song, within the verses, within the words that you sing? So,
yeah, story is a good illustration.
What?
Well, I think that story illustrated the whole introduction pretty well. The concept, you know, fleshing it out, how she lives it.
That's right. And so then what I'm trying to say is, in the same way that that expresses in Aria's story, the whole concept of what's going on and is the concept for you, what is that I made listen and tell you of the concept in words. Misty may listen and hum the sound or the melodies of your song or sound, and we may work together and create both the melody and the verse or the words. So, what is it then at a certain point, once you, what is the concept you have of yourself, and what is the story, the beginning story of that you can remember or are willing to remember? Because your beginning story in that regard is like the song that you carry with you at all time, or have carried with you at all times, And it's that concept and that story of yourself that you're living today. If that story is in and of itself a struggle, a conflict, if it is a becausing and a becoming, then your life today is based on that struggle. How do you because? How do you become something? What do you do to cause what it is you want? How do you create the self and life that you truly desire? You don't really know. So you look within. And supposedly that's supposed to give you this big fancy answer. I'm asking you to then say, hey, listen to your story. Create your story. Now then that you have your story, you can look within the story and hear and see the concept behind that story that you created of yourself. Is that okay with everybody?
Okay. Yes.
You're sure? Hello, anybody? Is anybody out there?
Yeah.
Well, does anybody like to say anything at this point?
You're off to a good start.
Oh, okay. Well, that's it, huh? So she wasn't singing a song to cause anything. She was singing the song that they were. She was enlivening the concept or the sound or the feeling or the sense that they have of themselves. She was not doing that to cause anything in the individual.
Right.
Because causing, in trying to cause or trying to become, thwarts you. It thwarts you because you don't know what to do to cause.
Right, but what she was doing seemed just like her natural self, like you were talking about last week.
Okay. What if? If all things are emergent, and they are, could you not imagine that your natural self is emergent?
Yeah, certainly.
You what?
Yeah, certainly.
All right. What does emergent mean to you?
Emergent means, yeah, to me it's like properties or qualities of myself that don't exist in any of the constituents that I think, breathe, say, do, or whatever, but it's in the whole of that. It appears in the whole of my expression.
So, if everything is emergent, what do you suppose? Could you give me a storyline of, let's say, the constituents of you as a personal being and an eternal being?
I don't have a... I don't know. I'd rather prefer not to stumble through that one right now.
Why not? What did you just say? All you have to do is to substitute within the pattern that you just said. Tell me again, what is emergent to you?
Okay, I see. Okay, I think I got it. Well, emergent to me is properties of myself that don't exist in the constituent parts, but appear in the whole.
Okay, so then, the constituent parts in this regard are personal being and eternal being.
Okay.
So, when you put hydrogen and oxygen together, communioned in a certain way, water is emergent, is it not?
Yep.
Then if I put personal being and eternal being together in a communioned way, what is emergent?
Isn't
it Andrew?
No, Andrew's down at the bottom of the list here.
Oh. It was when he was, and
Well, I guess it would be the me of my beginning story, in fact.
If I put the personal self and the eternal self together, what is emergent?
Well, it would be the illuminated being.
You see how quickly you're beginning down there? You just follow the same pattern. Repeat that pattern. So, then will the illuminated being be superior?
No, it won't be superior.
How do you know?
Is water superior to hydrogen or oxygen?
Yeah, it's a different form of, but not superior.
Okay, let's assume that that's the case. So then, when you if you're working on this emergent awareness of the universe in this regard, then the illuminated being is not superior.
Right.
Would all of your faults as a personal being be carried into, let's say, your illuminated being? Would all of your errors, mistakes, and original sins, would all that crap be carried into your eternal, your illuminated being?
Not per se. I think new ones would be emergent.
Follow the story you told me. Repeat again the story of emergent.
Yeah, properties that exist in the constituents, I mean, do not exist in the constituents, but appear in the whole. So, I don't know. It's a good question. I guess not.
There you go. You see, if you stay with the story in that regard, then you begin to understand that you might say, would your sins be forgiven? No, wouldn't matter. Would your errors and mistakes be relieved? No, it wouldn't matter. Because all things are emergent, and those things that are part of the constituents are not carried into the illuminated being.
Hey, just out of curiosity, you know how you said the illuminated being wasn't superior?
No.
Illuminated being is not superior, possible that then new difficulties?
I said not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let me ask you this.
Why the qualifier?
All right, let's assume this. You tell me why I made the qualifier.
Well, let's see. I suppose it would have something to do with the faults and et cetera probably come, as expressions of my trying to live and your personal self, cause and effect life. But
we don't care what you did as a personal self, cause and effect life. You can do anything damn well you want to. That doesn't carry it into the illuminated being.
Oh, okay.
Didn't we just say that?
Mm-hmm.
So then why the qualifier in terms of superior? Anybody can jump in. Andrew needs some help.
Kind of do. Angela, you're on a roll tonight.
How can you compare, though, Roger? Superior smacks of better, more, greater. So is it just the language and the choice of the word to compare one thing to another that's at fault here in our reasoning?
Are we going to spend the night just crap-shitting about words? Listen very carefully. If you make your eternal being superior, then your illuminated being cannot be superior because the illuminated being has properties that do not exist in the constituents. Give your eternal self superiority, and it cannot be part of your illuminated being.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay. Yeah.
Right, I understand now what you're saying. I still know when you're saying superior, it's still that concept, and I can't get away from languaging because it's always brought up, and that's one of the problems.
No, you can get away from languaging. That's the point of giving you a pattern to see what's going on, so you're not stuck with languaging something different in every other moment.
Okay.
What we have said is that they are properties that exist in the whole, in the illuminated being, that do not exist in the constituents.
I got your line of reasoning now.
So then you just follow that pattern, and in that regard, this means then that your eternal being can have problems, difficulties, and all of these kinds of things. And as I've said from the get-go, stop thinking of an eternal being as being the do-all, be-all, end-all, wonderful, goody-goody two-shoes being of the universe. Because if that's true, then you lose that as a part of your illuminated being, as a property of yourself.
So, Roger, does them, the illuminate being, is that not then a constituent as well now?
Is what?
Is the illuminated being not also a constituent now? Because the emergent simultaneously becomes a constituent, wouldn't it, as well? Of some, and so, then other constituent get together, and then another emergent.
So, let's assume that that's the case. What might the illuminated being be a constituent of?
Oh. I know.
Well, speak right up.
Mission of Godness?
Yes!
What?
Andrew said condition of Godness.
Oh, so then the illuminated being could be then a constituent of your condition of Godness. If you start with the story today that I started, you existed only as a condition of Godness. You had all of these abilities and etc., but you didn't have identity. So you take on, in this whole process, you take on personal being, eternal being, illuminated being, in the whole process of creating an identity. And if you have an identity in that regard, what do you bring to the state of condition of Godness?
An identity of Godness.
You see?
Sure.
You see?
Yeah.
And so... your condition of Godness has all of this, except it has no identity. You go through this whole process, the whole thing, in order to establish an identity so that you can be that and live that identity as a condition of Godness.
Okay, so could you say that, like, maybe one of the purposes of our lives is to give identity to our Godness?
Yeah, but then, wait a minute, if you do that ahead of time in that regard, what you are doing in that is then denying yourself that.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
I think you're saying it goes, in a sense, from the bottom up.
Well, it started from the top down, without identity. Now it works right from the bottom up. But you can't work from the bottom up to cause an identity. Because
right,
if you cause an identity, the next step, you lose what you've caused.
Right, because you composed it.
Because it becomes a constituent, and what is a constituent is not in what is emergent of and from the constituent.
Right.
Okay.
You okay with this so far?
Yep.
Yep, pretty clear.
Yep.
Okay, this is why I said before, what, 5-6 years ago when we first started with the condition of godness. Now I'm going to talk about, I'm going to mention it, but I don't want you to do with it. I don't want you to deal with it. I don't want you to ask me what it is or etc. Because the very act and fact of trying to deal with and give an identity to your condition of godness, which is an aspect of you, then you lose that in the doing.
Right. So can I ask a question? Is my question is, does this thing go kind of full circle such that a condition of godness is a constituent of you as a personal being?
In a sense, yes, but it is unknown and unknowable.
Okay.
And it remains unknown and unknowable in that way until you aliven yourself first. And in enlivening yourself in that way as a condition of godness, as an emergent, you see how important that is?
I think so. So are you saying that this thing ultimately goes to from a condition of godness to a personal godness?
Isn't that in effect what is occurring at that point?
Yeah, well, that would just mean it starts all over again and goes.
But it gives you identity. It gives you identity within being the condition of godness.
Yeah.
But you can't establish identity. You've got to you have to be your natural self to allow that identity to be emergent.
Okay.
Could you imagine then that this whole process for some of you religious folks here, the whole process then is the forgiveness of sins? That this is salvation? Is okay with this guy? Now do you begin to understand where the salvation or the forgiveness of sins is in your hands to be emergent, to live emergent? You can, all things are emergent, but you can lose that you have lost that awareness of things being emergent. You've covered it up and denied it by causing. As long as you continue covering it up and deny it by causing and trying to become, what you do is screw up your emergent properties kind of radically. So the question is to become aware of that all things are emergent in a way in which then you see how that applies to you, so that you live as you naturally are and all things are emergent. Wait a minute. Stop and think about this for a minute. Have you ever considered in all of this then that, wait a minute, let's see now. Your personal self is entangled. So your personal self in the understanding of emergent is tremendous. And your eternal self is entangled with other eternal self. So your eternal self is entangled. The more the tremendousness of your personal self and your eternal self, what is emergent from that is even a, allow me the word, greater, meaning more of, a not superior, a greater illuminated being in that regard, but not any of those things as a personal self or an eternal self. It's all of that and a whole lot more. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
So you don't have to be goody two-shoes. You don't have to be great and wonderful. You have to allow emergent to be the major, allow me this, workforce in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You okay with this so far?
Yeah.
Because through emergent,
yes,
and through entanglement, you automatically become greater and greater and greater and entangled, and then no matter how great you reach, what is emergent from that was even greater than that. It's greater than you can imagine. So, the question is, you can ruin all of that by causing and affecting. Because whatever you cause or try to cause and all of that, as a constituent, it will all be lost from you. Well, I rest my case in that. And so what, there is a harmony through all of this. There is a concept through all of this. There is a, as Arya would say, there is a sound, a music, an intensity or a softness or a whatever. You know, you put all of what I've just tried to say there as to music, and you can create a symphony of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then play that and carry that on. What I'm trying to do is to get you started with seeing and hearing that symphony simply by seeing and hearing and through memory then being aware of your beginning story. But the beginning story starts as a beginning concept. And then the story only gives individualization to that concept, gets you moving. Well, the point of all of this is that since every moment supplants every preceding moment, you can begin that story whenever you want. You can have your beginning story be, remember the old statement, today is the first day of the rest of your life. This can be the beginning story of the rest of your life. And the beginning story of your emergent, entangled self and life. Should you choose to. Or you can keep trying to cause, and everything you cause becomes a part of your constituent, and everything you cause you're going to lose. Okay with that?
Right.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're okay with that, Andrew?
Yeah.
I got to hear from Andrew.
I said I am, yes, thank you.
Oh, I didn't get it. The reason I wanted to hear it from you is because this next story is a story about Anno. I am Anno, and this is something I remember strongly. I had a vision of myself and life in which I saw myself and life can be always exactly as I choose to be and only as you choose yourself to be. Is there anything in error or in problem in that first sentence?
I'm afraid so. Not quite sure I got it. Can be, probably.
Can be is a causal statement.
Mm-hmm.
And so, then, whatever you vision yourself to be, or try to cause yourself to be, or can be in that way, that means your life and self and etc., then that becomes a constituent. Happy, happy are you. But you lose it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it never is. The vision is never what I am.
Because
I am short of whatever vision.
That's right. Because the what is emergent from that, should you then a communion, your personal self, an eternal self, or whatever in that regard, what is emergent from that as your illuminated self is not any of that. You've lost everything of that you visioned yourself can be. Oh, you're different, other, greater, and etc. But everything that you worked so hard to become, you lost yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You okay with that?
Pretty clear, yeah. I can relate.
What I'm trying to get you to do is to see emergent and entanglements in such a way that you could begin to relate to how that supplants causing. Do you remember 5-6 years ago when I had the gathering on language? I talked about be causing.
Yep.
Now in be causing, what I said is you don't cause things, the universe does that, but it does that because of you. You are, certain things occur because of you. So, we could say if you put hydrogen and oxygen together, you in an H2O way, you do not cause water. Water is emergent because of what you do, but you didn't cause water. Do you understand that?
And being the reason, yeah?
You're the reason that water occurs in that regard. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do to emergent water.
That's right. But because you put them, you are the reason that water occurs. When I asked you, would you rather have an intimate relationship or be the reason you have an intimate relationship? This is emergent. This is becausing.
Oh, yeah.
And you all chose, most of you, rightfully or whatever, chose to become the reason. Because as long as you are the reason, then the relationship can be emergent. But if you have a relationship and then try to cause it to be an intimate relationship, it doesn't work. So, in all of this then, if you are the reason, you are the becauser, you are the reason that it is emergent.
Right. Then everything... Mm-hmm.
I can barely hear Sally.
Oh. So, from that basis, living from or enlivened as emergent, then everything, I'll say the word you as emergent, think, say, do, whatever, is really constituent emergent. So there'd be no cause-effect, but it would be a lot of different expressing, but it would immediately then be constituent, which would be emergent.
That's right.
There's nothing that... Okay.
So if you're ill, you didn't cause the illness. You're the
right.
reason you have the illness.
Right.
That's the descriptionary.
So it doesn't make the illness a bad thing or getting a promotion a good thing.
You see? But when you try to cause, then causing it or not causing it puts you into good, bad, right, wrong, failure, success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But living yourself as the reason for these things, not the causer of them.
Right.
Be the reason for intimacy by always be causing intimacy. Be always the reason for intimacy, and intimacy occurs. You don't get as you give. You get as you are the reason.
Right. Yep.
You didn't, by the way, Andrew, call up your or have your Anna story right with you, do you?
5 minutes.
Well, I'll continue. I was going to have you read. And seeing this vision, my mind had explosion of many thoughts and realizations all at once, and imaginings of things, well, I could be and live and experience. Do you see? You're in a rush of causing. I felt increasingly energetic and acting. If you could get just an ounce of that energy into being the reason, into emergent, into becausing, and out of trying to cause. I felt increasingly energetic and active in all aspects of my being, because you were going to rush out there and cause. And everything you cause in that regard, you were going to lose. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the old saying, you can't take it with you?
Yeah.
Wasn't that what we're talking about?
What would have been a more becausing way to gotten through that experience or lived those awarenesses, I guess?
I didn't hear you.
What would be a more becausing way to live those awarenesses? You know, I see something new about my life or myself or other people I never saw before. I get excited about it. What would be a more becausing way to live that?
Well,
I am familiar with the excitement of going out to call.
Wait a minute. Let's back up a minute. You see, what you're trying to do is you're trying to cause without causing.
Yeah, right. I can imagine, yeah.
So all you're trying to do is you still want to cause. That's. Are you willing to be naturally Andrew?
Sure.
To the nth degree.
Sure.
The point of that is that it's such that you're willing to accept what is emergent in your life.
So does this mean I get to be crabby and pissy sometimes?
Sure. You always get to be crabby and pissy.
Wait, not when he's around me. Then we go back to cause and effect.
But don't you see where we're into this struggle? The minute you are causing and affecting, number one, you can't succeed except for digging a hole in the backyard. You can't succeed in that regard, but you're trying to succeed, and in that, the struggle to cause denies your awareness of becausing and being the reason and emergent. Do you do something to cause a result? Or do you do something because it is completely natural for you to do that? It's in and of your nature. Let me ask you this question. Considering entanglements and considering emergent, let's assume you arrived at a condition or situation of an individualized condition of godness. Is that caused, because, or emergent?
Emergent. I guess I'm pondering the difference between because and emergent. I mean, I think it's emergent. I think everything's emergent.
Okay.
It's emergent. Wouldn't it be emergent? And then in your emergence, you're becausing.
But the becausing, even in that regard, is almost secondary. Being the reason, not the becausing, but being the reason is what is important in that regard. So when we're talking about you living your true self or your natural self in that regard, the natural self of you is not causing something. It's not actually trying to because something. It is the natural you, because that's the reason is because that's you. And when you allow that to be you, what is emergent is greater than anything you have ever experienced, simply because as a constituent, what is emergent is greater, other, different than that.
Right. Yep.
Well, did you call up your story? Do you want to read your story?
Oh, I didn't know you asked me to. No, I didn't.
Okay, well, that's right. I'll read it.
All
at once, I realized that I was seeing very clearly that this is how I want to be. See?
Well, there's a killer right there.
Yes, and that expressing these visions and understandings always in life and with others is what I want to live. So you're living trying to cause the visions to occur.
So here's my problem. I'm plagued with these great visions.
You see?
All the time.
But then be the vision. I hate to steal that from Buddhism or meditation. Be the vision. Don't use the vision to be something to become or a reason to be caused.
Oh, I see. So, okay. So the vision is emergent, and from that I can see what I truly am. I naturally am.
If you would pause right there for that moment and say, well, if I'm having the vision, that must be emergent beyond who and what I am, the constituents of me even.
Okay, but is it naturally?
What?
Me? Is it naturally me, or is it beyond naturally me at this point?
No, it's not. Well, wait a minute. It's naturally you. Beyond naturally you is still naturally you.
Okay, all right.
It's not a because you.
That's interesting.
You with me?
Oh, very interesting. Yeah, because I certainly agree that these visions don't, like, I don't have to work on them pretty hard. They just pop up and shine brightly.
Well, the question is that when it occurs in that regard, what is it, you stop and think about it, what is it that you were doing or what is going on in your life? Can you understand what might be happening in that regard, that from that, the vision of yourself or visions, whatever they might be, are emergent? You see, what you would look at is, the vision is here, what did I do to cause the vision?
And what we're saying is, or what you're suggesting is, the vision is here, emergent, and what constituents was I doing that, don't emergent that, but what constituents, what does that reveal about the constituents?
Right, and the first thing you're going to do is, the constituents do not appear in the vision.
Right.
So you can't.
But I usually look at those constituents as building blocks on the way to get to the vision, whereas maybe what I should be looking at is those constituents are, what do you want to call it, elements or constituents?
The constituents are constituents.
Well, okay.
But they are constituents of the vision. But what the vision is and how it is not in and of the constituents themselves.
Right.
Okay, I think I got that. But that doesn't, in that regard, then denigrate or devalue the constituents.
No.
Got it.
But what happens is we tend to look within. And I've said, don't do that, because you're looking within to find out who you are, and in that, rather than being or being the reason in that, whoever you discover you are within, you will lose.
Okay, so what my question is, what if one of those things that goes on in my life when this thing pops up, or these kind of visions pop up, is when I'm thinking about the future.
Is what?
When I'm thinking about the future, that's when these things often pop up.
Sure, you're thinking about
And the future is a becoming sort of a thing.
But on the one hand, what we're saying here is the very thing that in the vision you might want to become, it is already emergently you. Would you live that vision naturally or be that vision naturally?
Oh, I see. So let me see. You know, I guess maybe a little quick process I do is I have the vision and then I guess I make some kind of judgmental comparison and sort of deny.
Well, that's right. You then you walk away from the vision and try to cause it to come to fruition.
Well, sure, because I looked around, there's all this stuff that I'm not.
No, it is that you are that, but you don't understand the nature of that vision.
Okay. Very interesting.
You've put that vision as a becausal, I'm not, but would like to become situation. When you begin seeing that as that is who you are, and you be that at that moment. You don't have to be that thing, but you be the concept of that vision.
Oh, I see. You know, because actually all this point of view on the and that story is very helpful, because I had pretty much put that story aside as kind of an aggravation.
Sure.
Because of all this becoming stuff.
That's right, because then you're trying to become that, and even if you become it, you lose it.
Oh, yeah?
Could you have a vision?
Wait, why do I lose it if I become it?
Because of the next step, if that's what you become, it becomes a part of your constituent, and what goes on in the next step, you don't have it. The question.
So you're saying, in a way, like we spend our, well, at least I spend my life, but I guess I say what? Achieving certain, the realization of certain visions, and then I don't appreciate that I've done that.
Can you choose a vision or a concept of who you are, not what you are becoming? For what you become, you lose.
Yeah.
So then you could have a vision. And in that vision, carry that vision with you.
Okay.
Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what you become, you lose. As it becomes a part of you, in any constituent, you lose.
So vision is just like a mini story.
Oh, now you're getting it. So that when we carry a story on as a beginning story, that's just the beginning of the story. The concept, the image, the vision goes on in that regard, but you lose everything of that. Wait a minute. You know, that's kind of like past lives, isn't it? You lose everything you were in that life or the next life or the next life or what the image you have of yourself in these various lives, whether you lived them or not. If you lived the lives, you lose them.
Oh,
you see? So having
so
the,
I guess the...
What?
The other thing is, I guess I'm realizing about this, is you had talked over the past couple of months extensively about how each moment is a... you said for all along that is a new beginning, but like at each moment you, in a sense,
it's a plan.
You can create a brand new story of your past.
That's right.
So I never really thought of it. I guess I tried to fit all these visions into a long-held sequence, but really each new vision could be the new beginning mini story.
That's why the
new way of looking at my story.
That was why the introduction. What is the concept that is you in that regard that you carry on with you in that regard? So you become that story in this way or in that way or another. You lose that, and in the next life or the next situation or in the next moment, that which you have become as part of the constituent is lost.
Oh, okay.
And it's replaced like a thief in the night. It's replaced, it's lost, but it's replaced emergently so with that which is even greater than that image you had. That's why I can call you.
So you can live. You could live by leaps and bounds in your life rather than live breadcrumbs. Or
you see?
Yeah, I see.
When you live by outcomes in that way, causing and causing outcomes and etc., you, as you would say, slowed yourself down.
So rather than live by outcomes, maybe it's better to live by new beginnings.
Oh my God, you're right. Gee whiz.
Gosh. Oh, interesting.
You see? See
yep.
how exciting that can be? Live by new beginnings, not by old outcomes.
I guess the one other thing interesting about that is if you're living new beginnings every moment, that is something that you can, you know, do, live, shape right now. An outcome is always out of reach and you're trying to get there.
But even so, in outcomes, after a while, it gets boring. New beginnings are always new and exciting.
That's a good point.
So, can you find ways to express yourself as new beginnings in every moment? You see, then you don't hold on to in memories this old stuff that you're going to lose anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the vision or the concept of yourself you carry with you and express in new beginning ways.
Got it.
Okay.
Cool.
And in your story, I saw that this is the person that I've always desired myself to be. You see? What would happen if you said, I saw that this is the person that I have always been?
Mm-hmm. And that changed the whole, everything in my life.
In that moment, I had strong sensations of stability, calmness, strength, and absolute confidence in myself and all of my life. Liar. If you saw that as you have always desired to be, that you didn't have the stability, the calmness, the strength, and the absolute confidence in yourself. You may have resolved certain things and treated it that way, but that in trying to become or to because what you wanted to be in that regard thwarts all of those things. Only in real, you can have that calmness and stability about yourself as in realizing that that's who you are and who you have already always been.
Yeah, got it.
As a new beginning.
So it's interesting, yeah, because all of this is, I guess it's a clear image of me or my natural self, but it's all cut up and divided in this causal language.
That's right. But you see, what happens is, if you would allow entanglements to work for you in an emergent way, then you can experience and express yourself, as you said, in leaps and bounds.
Are you saying, like, having the image is an entanglement with that image?
For instance, let's assume that you have an entangled image of yourself. Are you that person?
Yes.
No.
Really?
You see, if you see your past lives as you were being that person, that you will lose. But if you see the past life story as an entanglement, then you were not that, and you will not lose that.
Right.
I was not that?
No, it's what I've said. These past lives. You didn't live them, they weren't you. They are, that's your past life, but you didn't live them, and they aren't you. So you don't...
Are you saying that entanglement is always a new beginning?
Isn't it?
Okay. Interesting.
Isn't it a new beginning in that the entanglement in that regard allows you to be, as in book 1A, aware of that which you have never experienced?
Okay.
So it's a new beginning, is it not?
I see.
That's why I'm trying to get you to open your life today to the focus and action of entanglements and the action of emergent. And if you want to use cause in any way, then, or consider that, use it only in the sense of because, of being the reason. I didn't dig the hole in the backyard, I because the hole. I was the reason that the hole appeared. What did I do to cause hole? You see the difference in your life? I so believed in and was so certain of my vision and understanding that any other concerns or questions of my life had completely disappeared. Yourself as an emergent being disappeared. Your awareness of the expansiveness of entanglements disappeared. And you limited yourself down to that vision that you then tried to understand and become. And as soon as you did that, you would lose that as a constituent part of you. You would lose that vision of that becoming.
Okay.
So I just knew that everyone would want to see this too, and I felt absolutely compelled to share this with others, and I swore that I would. What is the difference between that statement and Misty's singing others' songs?
Well, I don't know. I guess Misty was just singing the person's song. She wasn't necessarily trying to give them that or anything.
But what you're saying here, following from the paragraph, I knew that everyone would want to see this too, that they can be, or because, the vision, the image that you want to become. So, in a sense, follow religion. When you become what religion wants you to become, you lose it all.
Oh, I see, right. Misty was singing the song that they already were.
Uh-huh.
I was going to go out and talk to people about what they could become.
Oh, you see the difference and the important significance of that?
Yeah.
So, this is what I had been seeing and sensing about people all along. What? Of what they can become? Whatever happened to seeing and sensing people as who they are? This is what we all truly...
Well, who they are kind of sucked, right? That was my problem. I kept looking at what they weren't.
Because you looked at, like I said in here, who you believe you are.
Right.
You see, could you listen to who they really, really are and see that? But if you look only at the outside, then you're seeing only the expression of who they think they are.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, this is what we all truly feel and what we have been expressing in everything in of our life. Yeah, we have, unfortunately. Do you understand?
Yeah.
See, I'm using your sentences, and I'm making these comments only because that when you take the same sentences or the same experiences, the concept of emergent and entanglements, every sentence thwarts the expansiveness of emergent entanglements.
I see.
Could you see yourself only as an emergent entanglement?
Yeah. Definitely.
That's like true listening. That's part of true listening, by the way.
Oh, right. Yeah. Ah.
So, I just knew that this vision understanding was for them, and I decided I would give everything of myself to show this to them so that they could feel the beingness of themselves fully in the expression they wanted, so they could sense their power in being themselves and their influence in the universe.
Those sound like such noble words.
You see, what you do in that then is actually you thwart them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
Ah. I move fast and with great conviction out to do my life and find others with whom to share these understandings. Do you understand the struggle in sharing your understanding?
Mm-hmm.
The question is, in all of these things, does choice ease or resolve any of these seeming dilemmas? Anybody can answer this.
Well, I think it exacerbates the problem.
Oh.
Choice, because they could choose to do or not do. It's not what they naturally already are. No choice is involved.
So, if you didn't have a choice in life and could not cause what you wanted, then would you live as you naturally are?
Yeah. What I didn't have a choice, I'd be doing that.
That's right. What I said is what forever, I said this, what, 16 years ago, result or outcome of forever living is never making a choice again.
Yeah, I know this is going to sound kind of maybe, at first, maybe not what people want to hear, but it sounds sort of like if you don't have a choice, then you don't live with hope, which means you wouldn't have the problems and struggles of hope, hoping to become. You would just be living what you are.
What didn't I ask you one time, or many
yeah, right.
times, would you be willing to live a life without hope?
Right, yeah, that's what I'm kind of getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of a sudden we look at hope and choices and causing and creating. They're a big detriment in your life.
Yeah, it's all outcome-based.
And are you willing to replace that mm-hmm. with emergent and entangled emergent?
Hmm, interesting.
And if you didn't have hope and you didn't have choice and you didn't and couldn't cause, the question is, would you pray to God? Would you pray to God to cause what you desire?
I don't think so.
Well, if you prayed to God to cause what you desired and you got what you desired because God gave it to you, you'd lose it. And you wouldn't then in that be living your emergent, entangled self, would you?
No.
Pray to God to cause it and you narrow yourself down? Would you pray to God to have His will be done for you and through you? And the question is, well, if you didn't get an answer from all of that, isn't it probable that you would return to your old choosing and causing ways?
Mm-hmm.
If I can't get you on to understanding your expansive, entangled, emergent way of life, then you will always return to your choosing and causing way of life.
Right.
All I've ever said before is that you have one choice to make in life. If you make two choices, you're dead in the water. And the one choice is, are you willing to live your entangled emergent self? Make that choice. If the answer is yes, fully so, and that then that is naturally you, and you live yourself as you naturally are in that regard, and you never make another choice in your life. But you, in not making another choice in your life, you don't limit yourself. You let that entangled emergent flow through you that is so expansive you can't even imagine it today. Mm-hmm. Causing plugs it up.
Yeah, actually you emerge yourself then.
Well, don't say emerge.
How?
No, you, I know.
Is a verb I can use for emergent?
No. No. Because now you've got yourself into emerging, developing, unfolding, creating, being, and you just threw emergent all away. Because you're trying to cause all those things. You have to stick with emergent. Even if you have to bitch up the language. I don't care about the language, and neither should you. No. You should, if you bitch up the language, but still get across the idea of emergent, don't go to emerging in any form.
But is it correct that emergent is an action, actually?
It is emergent, and you are emergent. It treats it as a noun, and any noun can be used as a verb, but don't change. If you want to use emergent, then you emergenting.
Exactly.
But don't take the ENT off of it, no matter what you do. Emergently.
Mm-hmm.
Emergenting. If you must put it that way. But you're better off not even to get into those words, because it's so simple to get right back into, I'm causing!
Yes, yeah.
So the question, Andrew, is it likely that all of your causing and all of your choosing and causing, will it ever bring you to know yourself as you truly are?
No.
And will it enable you to cause or create the self and life that you desire?
No, it'll keep me from it.
Oh, really? And even if you get it, no matter what you get, you will lose it.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, does anybody want to say anything more about what we've just said to Andrew about his life or whatever? Does anybody want to? I'm trying to get you aware of creating a life story or a beginning story that portrays the concept and tone of yourself. Do you remember, does anybody remember, let's see, last week I said, if you play a single note, that's a monotone. If you play two notes, you have a polytone. If you have three notes or more, you have a chord, or in a sense, you have a multitone in that regard. If you put all of that together, do you not begin to see that you are creating the life tone of yourself? All right. Take that now in the same way into a story. And in each story, then, you have to then follow that emergent and entangled pattern, such that if you're dealing only with one of yourself, that's a monotone. If you're dealing with your personal self. If you're dealing with yourself and a personal self and eternal self, that's a polytone. And if you play a chord of three or more, you're beginning to then play the tone of yourself as an illuminated being. And in that, then, you're beginning to play the life tone of yourself as an eternal illuminated being, which is a constituent of your being, an individualized condition of godness. Now, what the hell else do you want than that? Will Catholicism override all of that and supplant that and tell you to make the right choices? Would that be better for you? Well, if we had Pat here, we could discuss his. Once upon a time, a long time ago, on a planet many light years from Earth, an infant was born with an extraordinary sense of his place in time. Is there a struggle in that?
It immediately doesn't strike me.
Can't hear you if you're going to talk from across the room.
I said it doesn't immediately stand out to me.
Nothing stands out?
Extraordinary sense of his place in time?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I don't have a strong enough concept of that to say. I don't know.
Well, I'm not asking you about what Pat may be saying. I want you to talk to me about that. You have to say, you have to. If you're talking to somebody and you want to bring these concepts across and he says, well, I have an extraordinary sense of myself in time, would you be willing to say, oh, poor baby, too bad. What the hell is your place in timelessness? What's going to happen when you don't experience time? Do you really limit yourself only to time? And when your time is up, then what are you going to do? And all of a sudden, then, you've set time as the controlling factor of your life. Could you not understand and say, poor baby?
Got a question for you here, though. Could we not, take any of these statements and look at them from a struggle point of view and take the same statement and look at it from a non-struggle point of view?
That's fine, but then the point of it is you need to find out how he's using it.
Right, exactly.
And if he's saying he understands it in his place and time, I don't care how he's using it, he's limited himself to time. His perception of time, his concept of time, he's allowed time to limit him. Whatever happened to eternal? He can't know or understand any... What?
That was your feedbacking.
Oh, really? Well, it must have come from somebody's open mic. All right.
Right.
You with this, et cetera? Even if you could look it from it, then the question is, you got to be willing or able to look at it and see the thing that sounds so good, how it, like choice. Oh, boy, doesn't I have choice in life? No, choice just put the screws to you.
Oh, I see. I guess because it sounds good because I'm looking at it in a causal language.
That's so right.
Okay. So if I have the base of, what do you want to call it, an emergent as my base, maybe these things will sound different.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the causal.
Causal, there is a time sequence for causing. Emergent has no time sequence for emergent.
Hmm.
Could you take everything that is causal and transfigure that to emergent?
That would take some focus, but yeah, I could do it. You know, I think I just realized by the way he worded it, he did put great limitations on himself. He squinched himself down.
That's right. Because the next line says, quite unlike other children born on that world, he carried with him a memory full with details of every existence he ever lived on the enormous number of energy planes he had created for himself. And over and over and over again, he never got beyond that struggle of ever trying to cause and create. Never took that one free step into entangled emergent.
You know, the thing I was just quite curious about, like that second statement, it seemed like what he was trying to express was his, if you allow me the word, infinity, or his eternalness in the second sentence.
I know, that's what we're doing. Like I've always said, you have a sense of that eternalness, but in this world of language, the way it is, of cause and effect, you don't know how to express that. I don't disagree with that. How many people have ever talked to you about entangled emergent? Anything? Anybody? Ever? You ever come up before?
Well, no, I guess I'm just saying if you weren't here, like, listening to that story, I might think he was trying to say that his first sentence was trying to express that second sentence. So I guess I wouldn't have seen the
struggle. So he has a sense of that self, and that's exactly what the Superman story was all about. But the minute then that you enter the world of this language in this way and this life of causing this and causing that, it all goes out of your mind, out of your awareness, out of your ken. And you substitute trying to cause what it is that you want to be rather than being who you are. And in being who you are, you free up entangled emergent to work for you rather than disguising it as causing or God or some force in the world working for you or against you. In a very short time after his newly minted body remembered how to make itself work, he began speaking of everything he knew and remembered in memories, repeating the same thing over and over and over again.
So would it have been more, I guess we can call it entangling, or entangled-like to say, begin speaking of all the things that he sensed and knew he was? Is actively, presently?
Even that, and knew how to be that and live that. Not cause that, but to be that and live that as entangled emergent, as a resplendent being.
Okay. What happened next?
Would you like to So the question is, do you think that Patrick in that then has a good concept of himself? As a personal being he does, but as an eternal being he does not.
Now why as a personal being does he?
Because a personal being exists in time.
Oh.
So you could say, well, all right, Patrick, who are you as this consultant and et cetera? Well, he can talk forever and ever all about himself and his relationship as a consultant, as a politico, and all of that. Yeah, okay, gotcha, really good. But who the hell are you really?
Yeah.
And that's where it starts going out the window. Because he can only see that and know that in a time-space context. And then, of course, then another question to ask him is, hey, what is his concept of time? And it wouldn't take you but a moment to discover that his concept of time limits and restricts him, and he's constantly fighting against his concept of time. That time itself is the source of all of his problems and conflicts. Oh, well, that means he has a good sense of himself and all of his problems and conflicts. I'm trying to get you beyond that.
Hey, Roger, so do you generally, like, as a pre-incipient, do you assume that whatever's going to be written is going to be written in a struggle, or expressing a struggle that someone is living right now?
Andrew, I heard the first three or four words. After that, I did not.
Oh, sorry, that's fine. I said, so do you generally keep a premise going that whatever is going to be expressed is in some expression of a struggle that they're having right now?
No, I'll ask him what he means, and when he tells me what he means, if he's then expressing it as a struggle, it's a struggle. If he's not expressing it as a struggle, and he really is saying what he means, then that's okay. No. He might.
So when we talk about it with him not being here, we can't ask him that question. So are these presumptions, or are they?
Well,
or you kind of know this.
I've talked to him about it, so I know that this is a fact.
Okay. All right. I see how we're working it then.
Now, what is the purpose of all of this? The purpose of all of this is, and we're going to go right back to where we left it 2 weeks ago. You have the authority to live as you truly desire. For the universe promises to be to you as you are unto the universe. The world around you promises to fully support you without interfering and offers all things emergently so you can fully support yourself. But what you've done in the story or in the concept of yourself in all of this is that you've shown causing and affecting, becoming, choosing, having the right choice, and all of that in front of you like confetti, and blinded you to who you naturally are and naturally living as an entangled emergent. Okay, well, unless somebody's got any questions, we'll quit right there.
That's good, Roger.
I don't have any questions, but that was really interesting. So, yeah, thanks for going over the stories.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay, we'll say good night for now.